Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. People at work, people on the roads, people sitting in traffic, people delivering, cleaning, holding it down, protecting, watching, everybody doing everything. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This is a four-hour show. Happy Monday. It gets started every single weekday. That means Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's in New York City, where they have earthquakes and solar eclipses and all these other wild things that happen. Anyway, we got a big wild thing that's going to happen tonight. The national championship for college basketball. We got Purdue. We got UConn. And that game is coming our way in about 2.5 hours. You don't got to wait too much longer. The national championship is going to go down at the home of the Arizona Cardinals in Glendale, Arizona. If you want to talk to me here, and you can do it wherever you are, the phone number is 855-212-4CBS. You can find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. We've already had a busy show. Thank you so much to Dom Amore, who covers all Connecticut sports on behalf of the Hartford Current. He came through and joined us last hour to take a look at tonight's championship game between Purdue and UConn. And then as we continue on, how about this? We're going to check things out from a Purdue perspective. Sam King is going to join us, covers Purdue for the Journal and Courier. So we'll have two different perspectives on the national championship tonight. A real interesting to see whether or not Sam believes that, if Purdue is going to come out on top with the upset. And then later on in the show, a matter of fact, next hour, Matt Jones is coming through. We'll talk about Kentucky. You know, we discussed this last hour. John Calipari, who's coached the Wildcats since 2009, it looks like he has an agreement to be the new head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference. I don't want to say that he is running away from his problems, but the problems are the ecosystem in college basketball, the transfer portal, and NIL. And so maybe more money will help solve things for Coach Cal. Maybe the dissolution of the NBA G League Ignite team will help him be able to recruit players. It's by saying, hey, here's more money. But is it easy to do that if they're like 18 and 19 and all they're thinking about is the bag? I mean, let's be real. We got a team in UConn looking to go back-to-back. Nobody's looking at UConn and saying, oh, my God, the top player on their team, whether it's Tristan or you want to look at Klingon. Nobody's looking at these dudes to go to the NBA and dominate. Coach Cal has been snatching up top prospects for years, hoping that one-and-dones help him win a national championship. Well, he only has one that came in 2012. That's a long time ago. So it looks like Coach Cal is on his way out the door. And Hickey, let's play the audio, because he was walking, and I got air quotes when they say walking his dog. Coach Cal was in his neighborhood walking his dog in a stroller, by the way. And the good television folks at WKYT happened to catch him walking down the street. Listen to this interaction.
Hey, Coach, you got anything you want to say to your fans or anything?
I'm watching my dog right now.
Anything right now you want to say anything to your fans right now?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. Come on, Paul. Come on. My dog is walking me. Come on.
My dog is walking me. Now, Hickey, maybe that's a different clip from what I saw. I swear he had the dog in a stroller. Was that me?
So this video, the dog was walking, but Calipari was pushing the stroller. So maybe it was the beginning of the walk, and he knew that his dog looked like a smaller dog. It sounded like his name was Paul, was not going to make it, maybe, if he's going to walk, I don't know, 2 miles. Maybe he's only going to make it 1 mile, and the other was going to be, other mile's going to be in the stroller. I have some thoughts about that, but.
If it's a house dog or a lap dog, I mean, yeah, you could take, you could, it's your pet, you do what you want with it. Does it belong outside like that? If the dog can't, I don't know. Like, I love pets, I love animals. I walk because it's healthy, right? I jog because I think it helps me keep healthy. That's why I do it. I don't want to go anywhere, but I get up and do it. You know, I barely want to exercise myself. I don't want to have a pet that I got to take outside to exercise, and it's not exercising. The pushing and the stroller?
I mean, you would assume, right, with four legs, that dogs are, like, genetically, like, built to walk, right? Like, I don't see the point of the stroller.
Not the small. We're going to get yelled at by the people who really love their pets, Hickey. You know that, right?
But we're talking, like, it's coming from a good place, and, like, I would agree, like, walking is good for you. Let them stretch the legs out. I don't think they need a stroller.
You want to know some things I didn't see? I don't know. I don't think I saw a dog stroller until, I couldn't even tell you, 10 years ago, 15, maybe, I don't know.
I was going to say, this feels like a recent phenomenon. Like, this was not one where I was younger. My friends had dogs. I never had one, but they had them. They never pushed them in the stroller. That was, like, never even a thought. You're taking the dog for a walk. Not, I'm going to take the dog for a walk, and I'm going to walk and just push the dog like it's a six-month-old baby in a stroller. And now, like, I walk around my apartment, JR. It's like, it's, you see the dog stroller more often than not.
We see more dog strollers than baby strollers, right?
It's crazy. I don't know where this shift happened. But listen, now I'm sure, like, the stroller industry is more for the dogs than they are for people.
Whoever sat around in an office one day and said, aha, I saw that one wacky lady in the neighborhood pushing her dog in the baby stroller. It took one person to go, we can make strollers for dogs. And then here we go. Here it is.
It's also like the cat backpack.
The cat backpack?
You ever see that?
No.
Oh, it's like a normal backpack, but has like a little, almost like a submarine window, if you will.
Oh, my God.
Like a little bubble. Yeah. And then you see like the cat's head just.
On the subway.
They're just on the street, in the subway, wherever, just kind of just looking out.
Yep. I've seen dogs in a new, you're not supposed to bring a dog onto the New York City subway. I've seen dogs in backpacks. Yeah, so. A wild world that we live in.
Yes, it is.
Coach Cal walking his dog as he pushes his dog in the stroller. Well, soon he can find a house in Arkansas. And then, you know what? He can pay, Jerry Jones can pay somebody to walk his dog in the stroller. So Coach Cal doesn't have anything to worry about. And by all means, this deal is not official, quote unquote, yet. Speaking of official, congratulations to the South Carolina Gamecocks. They won another championship yesterday, knocking off Iowa 87-75. Dawn Staley continues to win, no matter what. Camilla Cardoza has a big game, 15 points to go along with 17 rebounds. And it really didn't matter what Caitlin Clark did early. It's like South Carolina just had too much. And too late to just run them off the court, which is pretty much what they did. You know, every time that Iowa looked like they were going to get close, it didn't feel like that there was a threat. Even with the early run where it was, what, like 20-9, 22-9, it's too early in the game. It's like once South Carolina put their foot on the neck, it was going to be done. And, you know, last break we talked about Hall of Famers. Vince Carter going into the Hall of Fame, Chauncey Billups going into the Hall of Fame. By the way, Jerry West and Hickey, we talked about this in a break. Jerry, this is his third time going into the Hall. And so to clarify, he went in once as a player, and then he went in on the 1960 Olympic team. And now Jerry West is going into the Hall of Fame again as a contributor because of his success in molding the Los Angeles Lakers dynasty from 25 years with Shaq and Kobe. Jerry West is pretty sharp with the tongue at times. Do you think he delivers a speech? Does he go up there and say, thank you, why am I doing this again? Does he give us 20 minutes? What do you think Jerry West does?
I mean, what else is there to say? Like, who else is he thanking? you have two speeches already. I'm sure you think, like, all right, this is the one and only Hall of Fame speech I'm going to make, so I'll just burn through all my material now. Why save anything? Then probably have to go dig in for speech number two. I think at this point, it may be like a two-second hi, bye, thank you, see you later.
You thank Kobe and Shaq for their contributions to the Lakers, and then you sit down. That's it. What else is there for Jerry West to do? Hey, another Hall of Famer. Congratulations to the woman who led the Lady Gamecocks to the championship yesterday. That's Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley also in the Hall of Fame, went into the Naismith Hall back in 2013, went into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame back in 2012. And with winning yesterday, she now has an additional accomplishment. Yesterday's victory gave her her third championship as head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. She's also now the first black coach in college basketball to win three national titles and lead a team to an undefeated season. So congratulations to Dawn Staley, Camilla Cardoza, who's already declared for the WNBA draft, because all they do is win. And they slayed the dragon. They went out there and they beat Caitlin Clark, who finished the game with an unbelievable 30 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. It just wasn't enough for all the waves of players that South Carolina was able to throw out onto the court. And so afterwards, Dawn Staley was real emotional about winning and everything that took place. And she was asked, why the tears? Why the emotion? Listen to what Dawn Staley had to say.
Well, it was emotional for me because of how it ended last year. I'll leave that there. And I was emotional at the beginning of the game because I didn't want what happened last year to happen this year. So I was handling things in real time.
Yeah, well, if you need a reminder of what happened last year, Iowa, the Hawkeyes, they beat South Carolina in the Final Four. That was actually their first loss of the season, eliminated them. We know Iowa went on to take on LSU and Angel Reese, everybody's favorite team, and then LSU ended up being your national champion. So South Carolina to go all this way, to go undefeated and win, yeah, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, you could consider them to be the quote-unquote the boogeyman or the boogeywoman, and if anybody was going to stop them, you could certainly think back to what took place last year. Caitlin Clark, she talked about what took place and said despite the same result and coming down with a loss and not winning the national championship in back-to-back years, Caitlin Clark appreciates what took place this season.
Yeah, it's certainly been a special year. And to be honest, like after last year, I was kind of like, well, how do we top doing what we did last year? And somehow, some way, every single person in our locker room believed. And to be honest, this year was probably more special than last year.
Yeah, I mean, when you go on a run and then there's the expectations and she's just amazing. Caitlin Clark is in her own right. And so despite, and we'll talk about Caitlin Clark more next hour, despite not winning a national championship, despite losing in consecutive years, 1 year to LSU and this past season, obviously yesterday, to the team that they beat in South Carolina, Caitlin Clark is still on top of the mountain. Caitlin Clark is still one of the most spectacular basketball players I think college has ever seen. And it really doesn't matter, you know, what the gender is. Caitlin Clark went out there and got busy. And against the best team in college basketball, she still went out there and threw up 30 points. And the woman who was tasked with trying to slow her down, Raven Johnson. Now, it's kind of tough. Caitlin Clark comes around these screens. She's dropping threes from 30 feet out. She's unbelievable. Hey, Raven, how the hell do you stop her? Is there a way to stop her?
Don't let her score. I mean, I was ready. I was ready for the moment, and I take defense very hard. Like, I take it to heart. And I think I studied her moves, and I was ready. I had confidence this year. I mean, I was telling myself last year's not going to happen again.
Okay. All right. Well, 30 points later, it really doesn't matter. You walked away with a national championship. So congratulations to Dawn Staley. Congratulations to Iowa. And we'll talk about this later on this hour, whether or not the women's tournament lived up to the hype. And I think there are actually some numbers that I'll share that'll back things up. There was huge interest coming into the tournament. I talked about how interested I was to see this tournament more so than the men's. And it's kind of crazy to think that in a matter of a couple of hours, everything is going to be done. The women ended. They ended. They had their national championship yesterday. Congratulations to South Carolina. And then only a few hours from now, we'll see whether or not Purdue or UConn will walk away with the title. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Last hour, we had a conversation with Dom Amore from the Hartford Courant. Well, it's time to get a perspective from the good old folks of Purdue. We're going to have a chat with Sam King, who covers the Boilermakers for the Journal and Courier. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to see whether or not Zach Edey is going to be a champion on the other side of this break. So don't move on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen, folks, we're only about 2 hours away. I know the anticipation is killing me. We're 2 hours away from tip-off for the national championship on the men's side of the NCAA basketball tournament. We got Purdue, we got UConn, and last hour we had an opportunity to have a chat with Dom Amore from the Hartford Courant, and now we need to go to Indiana. It's time to have a conversation with Sam King, who covers these Boilermakers for the Journal and Courier. Sam, thank you for taking the time to hop on. How are you?
Doing well, man, doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Now, you're also in the stadium, aren't you?
I am inside the stadium right now, yeah. It's a little wild already, and it's, as you mentioned, we got a couple hours to go still yet.
It's a little wild already? What does that mean? We got some students out there, the media going crazy over food. Things are wild already?
They did just open the buffet line, so that's that was the wild on my end. But Purdue definitely showed out for this thing. There are a ton of Purdue fans outside the stadium, in the city, restaurants, bars. It's almost like a massive Glendale, Arizona party scene for miles, it seems like. And, you know, when you haven't been in the national title game since 1969, a lot of these people have been looking forward to this opportunity for a long, long time.
Well, absolutely, Sam. Well, let's cut to the chase. Do you think all of these fans who traveled from Indiana out to Arizona, do you think they're going to see the Boilermakers win their first championship?
Oh, that's I think this is going to be just a great game down to the wire. And Purdue's going to have to play better than the other night for sure against North Carolina State. I thought Purdue put together maybe one of its best defensive games of the year that night, but offensively left a lot to be desired. That said, I haven't seen this Purdue team play poorly in back-to-back games in basically 2 years. So maybe that bodes well. You got the nerves out of the way. You still got to win. You got to the championship game. If Purdue's able to pull this out, it's really going to come down to having to play better, especially at the guard position, the point guard position, where Braden Smith had a little bit of a struggle in the first half of the other night.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. It took us late into the game for Purdue to roll away with it. Sam King is joining us from the Journal and Courier, covers of these Boilermakers. There's so much attention that's paid to Zach Edey. When you think about how this team has evolved throughout the course of the year, who do you think or who have you seen make the biggest jump that has helped propel them from the disappointments from past years?
I think it's several guys, you know, and collectively just playing together better. Last year, it was much of the same guys, but, you know, come NCAA tournament time, it was like Zach Edey had to score 30 points or you weren't going to have a chance. And ultimately, the outside shooting is what killed Purdue. But Trey Kaufman-Wren, who was a guy not getting a lot of minutes last year, is now a starter. He's done a phenomenal job being another post presence next to Zach Edey. Mason Gillis who plays the same position as Trey Kaufman, is totally different at the four position. He comes off the bench and gives you a kind of a rough defensive guy, a rebounder, and a guy who's shooting almost 50% from three-point range. Both of those guys have improved significantly this season, and I think that's probably, when you look at Purdue, you talk about the guards, you talk about Zach Edey. Nobody really talks about those two guys, and I think they are big-time X factors.
Well, we know that there is a big, and you're speaking of big men, UConn has a big man of its own in Klingon, who, although he's not the size of a Zach Edey, he's 7'2". He is no small fry. What do you think about that matchup in particular? We saw a different type of big man oppose Zach Edey the other day and DJ Burns. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, this is, you know, a lot of people are talking about this, and rightfully so. Klingon is probably the best defensive center that Zach Edey's played all year. So from that perspective, you're going to see something that you don't see a whole lot of if you're, you know, the National Player of the Year. But at the same time, Purdue has a 7'2" center on its roster that is actually a pretty skilled player. We just don't know who he is because Wilberg sits behind Zach Edey. So Zach Edey's playing almost 40 minutes every single night, but he's beating and banging with a 7'2" guy in practice every single day. So the size, I don't think, is going to be an issue, or the length. It's probably just going to be the skill more than anything. And I think Klingon's going to obviously do some things that that Edey hasn't seen yet this year that's going to cause him to have to adjust. But so far, for the last 2 years anyway, I haven't seen a team that really could guard Zach Edey one-on-one and stop him because it's just so physically imposing at 7'4" and 300 pounds.
Yes, Sam King is joining us, covers the Boilermakers in Indiana for the Journal and Courier. That's for Zach Edey. And I talked about some of the failures over the past couple of years for Purdue to even get to this point. What is this, or what would a win mean for Matt Painter? This is almost like gigantic monkey, you know, off of his back if they walk away with a victory. He's been there for the better part now, what, 20 years?
Yeah, he was an assistant for 1 year, coach in waiting, basically, and then the last 19 years has been a head coach. And he's had really good teams, had some deep NCAA tournament runs, but until last week, he had never won an Elite Eight game. And people kind of gave him the label of the best coach who had never been to the Final Four, which is a label that, you know, probably tells you that you're a good coach, but it's also a label you don't really want. And now he's got that monkey off his back, and now people probably look at him in the same light as a Mark Few at Gonzaga. Like, these are really good coaches, but they're the best ones who haven't won a national championship. And you can change that narrative with 40 minutes of really good basketball against, you know, a UConn team that really has a chance to solidify itself as an all-time great program.
Well, Sam, when you think about what may happen after tonight, win, lose, draw, we know Edey's going into the NBA. What growth have you seen in his game? And for someone who's covered him since he arrived onto the scene, where do you think he slots in that? Are we looking at someone who's a backup center? What is he going to look like on the next level?
Yeah, obviously, the NBA game is much different than the college game. You don't post the center up for 40 minutes in the NBA anymore. Now, 25 years ago, he's probably top five pick. Obviously, when you look at him, you see him shooting from 5 feet away pretty much every time he gets the ball. But he's really, he's got a nice stroke. People don't see him shoot because in the college game, you know, you're a fool if you have a guy that big and you're having him out on the three-point line. But he's got a nice touch from three. You know, he at the NBA draft combine last year, he really showed that he can shoot the outside shots with regularity and hit it. But I think if he can just have a consistent 15-foot jumper, get a little bit better defensively, he's much better. Yes, where he got better, his footwork and being able to guard people going to the basket rather than just camping under the lane and waiting for somebody to come to the basket. He's gotten a lot better at that. But if he can do that and he can hit some mid-range jumpers and get paired with the right team that has, you know, the guard that can make it work, I can see him being a guy that can play 10 minutes a game in the NBA, but I don't see him going out and being an NBA All-Star or anything by any means.
Sam, thinking about what this might mean for Purdue, because he's gone, what does the team look like for next year? Is there any idea? Are they peaking right now? Are we starting from scratch? What do the Boilermakers look like into the future, especially with all of this NIL and player movement?
You know, for all of the change in college basketball with the transfer and NIL, Purdue is kind of a throwback program. These guys are all recruited out of high school, developed in the same program for 4 years, and then they get their degree and move on and whatever else. It's kind of unique in this day and age. Purdue has one transfer on the team. He's a fifth-year grad transfer from Southern Illinois. All these other guys were recruited out of high school by Matt Painter. So I think that's kind of the cool thing about the story. If you win, it's like, hey, you don't have to adjust and do the transfer portal and building a team on the fly like the past. But yes, kind of what this team looks like next year. And Zach Edey's gone, yes. You lose in key pieces. Lance Jones, obviously, being that fifth-year transfer, is a big loss. But Purdue has its best recruiting class of all time coming in next year. Six freshmen coming in next year. And Fletcher Boyer and Braden Smith have started every game since they were freshmen, and they're only going to be juniors next year. I really, really believe that this is just breaking through the glass, and now you've kind of opened the door where Purdue is a program that you hopefully can sustain this and be a team that's trying to get into the Final Four multiple times in the coming years.
Oh, well, Sam, certainly enjoy yourself out there. Are you enjoying yourself a little bit? Are you participating, or are you just all basketball? I asked the same question to Dom.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy with work stuff, but late at night I've been able to enjoy myself a little bit, and I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Okay, no doubt about it. I understand. Listen, you travel, you go out to Arizona, you might as well soak in a little bit of the sun, while things are going on. Hey, Sam, where can people follow you and all of your work with the Boilermakers?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter/X, I guess it is now, at Samuel T. King. Same thing on Instagram. And if you want to read my work, I link a lot of stuff on there. So SAUELTKING.
Yeah, well, Sam, thank you so much. And let's see what the Boilermakers do, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All the best. That's Sam King from the Journal and Courier, covers the Boilermakers out of Indiana. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming through and joining us. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. College basketball season is about to be over. It's crazy to think about it. I mean, we're ushering in, well, it's already spring. We're going to blink. We're going to be staring in the face of the NBA playoffs. Major League Baseball is underway. Allergy season is here. It's a wild time in the sports calendar, not including, obviously, allergy season. And after tonight, I don't want to say it's like passing the baton. It's going to be much more attention paid to the NBA and what they do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. This portion of the show was brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, speaking of changing attention and where people are watching and not watching, we're going to talk about these ratings that the women's tournament has garnered, including the championship game.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice. I appreciate that. And also a big old thank you to Sam King from the Journal and Courier for joining us. He covers the Boilermakers out in Indiana. And right now he's out in Arizona. He's in Glendale. He's in the stadium as everybody is awaiting Purdue and UConn. And by the time the night is done, we're going to have a national champion in the college basketball season. At least for the men, it's going to be over. 1 hour and about 40 minutes away from tip. I got UConn walking away with the victory. Hickey, who do you think is going to win this one, man?
I'm with you. I have UConn, and I'm not even sure if it's a good game, JR.
Oh, you think it's going to be another ass whooping?
I think we're going to see, for the 12th straight game, a double-digit victory for UConn in the tournament. I mean, this could be, I think it could be up to 20 points.
You think they're going to run them off the floor?
I think they're going to run them out of the gym.
Yeah, well, I think a big part of that is Zach Edey and his ability to run. I don't know. I don't know if the Boilermakers are a complete enough team. We just talked about this with Sam King, and we could throw out whatever names that we want. If Zach Edey is not out there abusing UConn, then it's tough. I got the Huskies winning, and they're beating up on everybody. Even Alabama for a little while on Saturday, it looked close, but then it's just like, we'll run away. So I'm not so sure. Hickey, one thing I am interested in, what the hell are the ratings going to look like for this game tonight? That's it. Because the ratings last night or yesterday afternoon were just off the wall for the women's championship. And knowing that this game, and help me out here, I get it, it's all about money. The national championship is going to be on TBS. Like, it's not going to be nationally televised on broadcast television. It's not going to be on CBS. It's going to be on TBS. And I get it. People are paying for it. But you're shorting, obviously, the viewing potential of a national broadcast yesterday. How about this? Caitlin Clark is involved in a basketball game. People are going to watch. And it's not just LSU. Because as Caitlin Clark and Iowa lost to the Gamecocks yesterday afternoon, 18.7 million viewers on average watched that game yesterday. It was on ABC. It peaked at 24 million viewers. Now, this is nuts. It's the most watched basketball game since 2019. It doesn't matter if it was the men's game, the women's game. Doesn't matter if it was the pros. Doesn't matter if it was college. Let me say that again. The South Carolina Gamecocks beating Iowa and Caitlin Clark. It was the most watched basketball game in this country since 2019. 18.7 million viewers. Hickey, you surprised? I am. I thought it would have peaked with LSU. I thought we would have at least gone down. I still know a crap ton of people wanted to see Caitlin Clark, but not at a historic level, you know?
I'm not surprised just because, like, this is also it. Like, you know, this is Caitlin Clark's last opportunity. Last game as a collegiate star, and obviously it's the chase for her to win a championship, but also at the same time, it's South Carolina, who's been a dominant program with Dawn Staley going for a perfect year. I know there's not as many, we'll say, household or like popular names on South Carolina as there is with LSU, with Angel Reese and Haley Van Lith. But Sunday, broadcast TV, 3 o'clock, I'm not surprised that it did the number it did.
Yeah, but most watched basketball games since 2019?
I mean, that part's a little surprising with some of the great tournament, you know, championships we've had, but power of Caitlin Clark at this point. She's a true phenomenon.
And you know what? It goes beyond NBA Finals, National Championship. Listen to this. This is according to The Athletic. 18.7 million people watching Iowa and South Carolina play yesterday. There are only 4 college football games from this past year that had more viewers. Okay? The amount of people who watched Caitlin Clark yesterday, it's more than every World Series game since the Nationals and Astros in 2019. It's more than every NBA Finals game since the Warriors beat the Cavs in 2017. More than every single Daytona 500 since 2008. And it's more than every final round of the Masters since 2001. When Tiger Woods got his second green jacket, we know he's out here abstaining from sex, trying to get a new one. It is just nuts to think that many people tuned in and watched. Does this carry over to the WNBA? That's to be seen. You think about the WNBA, it takes place in the summer. Games all over the place. You know, the season, it may be a game on a Saturday afternoon when people are outside and riding a bike, having a picnic, taking the family on vacation. I'd be real interested to see how Caitlin Clark mania, if we want to call it so, continues on. I thought opposite, Hickey. I'm like, oh, man, LSU rivalry last year. This is where it peaks. still get a good number, but it's not going to be the same number. And you think it's going to carry to the WNBA? I feel like maybe for a couple of games. But I think part of it is the season that it's going to be in. They're going to start, and it's going to be a natural interest. I don't think they're going to garner these type of numbers. And then after that, it's just like, okay, what is she doing? I think it's Caitlin Clark watch after that. But I think these historic numbers, I think we can probably kiss them goodbye for a while.
When it comes to 18 million viewers, I'm with you 100%. They're not pulling that in. But I do think, like, I don't know the numbers offhand from, like, last year and previous years, but I would assume there's going to be definitely a bump. Like, I think a lot of people that watch women's basketball, either because of or to watch specifically Caitlin Clark, I do think they'll continue to follow her. And I think the WNBA will receive a bump specifically from her. But I don't, I'm with you in the sense of, like, historic numbers. 18, even 15 million people, I don't think you're going to get a number that big, but they will see, I think, a jump.
Yeah, they're going to see a jump. And this is the crazy thing. This is where we're at in the world. Listen, people, the WNBA draft is on Monday. Like, I'm not kidding you. The season ends. A national champion was crowned yesterday. The WNBA draft is going to take place on Monday, April 15th, which is next week. It's going to take place 7 days from now. And then after the draft, the WNBA season, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are brand new and newly interested in this, their season gets going in May. We're talking about mid-May. It's only going to be about a month. You won't have to wait forever until the regular season gets underway. A matter of fact, to the shock of absolutely nobody, the regular season starts Tuesday, May 14th, with the Indiana Fever and the Connecticut Sun. And we've already seen the Caitlin Clark effect for the Indiana Fever, who hold the number one overall spot. Caitlin Clark is going to take on the Las Vegas Aces. They are moving that game from the Las Vegas Aces normal arena at Michelob Ultra Arena. They're moving it into the T-Mobile Center. The difference in capacity? Oh, only about 8,000 people. They're moving the game from a 12,000-seater to a 20,000-seater. They're moving them into the big, big arena. And that ain't because, everybody all of a sudden loves the WNBA. It's because people want to see Caitlin Clark. And so I'm just real interested to see, you know, how far this can go. And that game will take place Saturday, May 25th at 9 p.m. And I'm sure that's going to be a nationally televised game as well, getting ready to just pretty much explode the league. So if you want to know what the Caitlin Clark effect is going to look like, you're going to find out sooner than later. Caitlin Clark had her own thoughts and responses to what we've seen in regards to the ratings. She put the number, and then she put multiple fire emojis. And so Caitlin Clark is certainly watching what's going on here as she just garners attention and ultimately garners money. I know Cheryl Swoops pretty much said Caitlin Clark is going to go to the next level. Don't expect her to dominate right out of the gate. And I would agree with that. But it would be fun to see if she does. I think that's part of the lore of what she's getting ready to do. And I think on the college side, the emergence of the Juju Watkins of the world, who was scoring at will, people want to see what she does next. And so I just think just college basketball on the women's side, as we've discussed, it's really, I don't want to say hit a peak, but it's hit a nerve. And it has nowhere to go but up. Everybody tweeting about the game yesterday. Everybody tweeting about the game on Friday between Iowa and UConn. And was it a foul? Was it not a foul? Man, there were years where the women's tournament came and it went, and it was just like, okay, yeah, great, UConn won again. Or who won? And those days are over. Hickey, do you think, all things considered, that the women's tournament has lived up to the hype versus this men's tourney?
I do, because we got, right, the women's tournament was based on the individual players. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins, and I thought they've all performed at a very high level, win or lose, throughout the entire tournament. We've got big, big games in terms of LSU-Iowa. Iowa, UConn in the Final Four, the two best teams in the country, Iowa, South Carolina in the final. Like, I thought everything that was kind of built up going into the tournament, we got. So I do think so. Would you agree?
Yeah, I thought about it earlier on. Yeah, I made the comments, that I was looking forward to seeing the women's tournament, and I'm excited about the women's tournament more so than the men. And I do. I think it certainly lived up to the hype. We can certainly go ahead and look at the ratings. Yesterday's women's game, most rated, highly watched basketball game, period, men, woman, pro, college, since 2019. Tonight's number ain't going to be that. Okay, whatever happens between the Boilermakers and the UConn Huskies, they ain't touching almost 19 million viewers on a Monday night. And a lot of times, and this is before the women got hot, you know, people complain about the starting times for these games, and I get it. You know, you want to maximize advertising revenue, but don't you want to maximize the eyeballs first? You know, why couldn't we have the national championship game, I don't know, on... Maybe last night ain't the best example. They had WrestleMania on. A lot of people watched that. I don't know, but these 9 o'clock starts and... Hickey, is this game going to end at midnight or after?
I would say before. 9:20 p.m. Eastern tip. I think we do. By 11:45, we'll have a winner.
We're not getting flim-flammed on the start time again?
I don't think so. Like, 9:20 is too specific... to be flim-flammed, as you would say.
Well, we're going to find out in an hour and 30 minutes because watch them tip off this damn game, I don't know, at 9:30, 9:27. We'll see. We'll see how upset I am by the time they waste our time. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We are going to take a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about Caitlin Clark, because people are looking at Caitlin Clark. I think there's certain people that want her to fail, certain people who want her to succeed. She lost. There's certain people calling her a loser. I don't get it. We'll talk more about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.